Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And it's time for quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with Dustin Schutte from SaturdayTradition.com, the website for all Big Ten sports news. And you can catch everything from Saturday Tradition on our app. Get our app. It's just Keystone Sports. Download it wherever you get your apps from, Google Play or iTunes. Dustin, another big, big day, especially in the east half of the Big Ten. How about it?
Yeah, it was a fun weekend. I think that this was the weekend that was circled on everybody's calendar from the time we got the schedule. You know, I know the Big Ten comes out with these years in advance, and you know, this was just a big time matchup weekend on a Halloween weekend, and for both games to live up to the billing. Michigan State was thrilling. Penn State gave Ohio State all it could handle. We got some excitement between Nebraska and Purdue, and I know Iowa-Wisconsin wasn't quite the game we had thought it was going to be, but still, all in all, a really good weekend, especially in the Big Ten East. It was a lot of fun. I think we've realized that the four teams we thought were really good, even though Penn State's sitting at 5-3, all four of those teams are still really good.
And if you watch those games, you realize that was the fact. But let's start with this, and perhaps most importantly, you, my friend, were back on the winning ways, 2-1. You had Penn State covering against Ohio State. You had Michigan State, who not only covered, but they were, they were the underdog even. They won outright. Your only miss was Iowa at Wisconsin. And are we finding out that Iowa is not as good as everybody thought?
I think that is what we're finding out a little bit here. I mean, their offense has been abysmal. The last two games against Purdue and Wisconsin, they've run the ball 60 times and picked up 100 yards. So they're averaging 1.67 yards per carry. That's not good. That's not going to win you a lot of football games in any division. On top of that, Spencer Petras is not throwing the ball well. Obviously, when you're not running it well, that doesn't open up play action. And then you look at the secondary, that unit that was able to create so many turnovers without Riley Moss in it. They're having issues right now. They're having issues defending. I mean, Graham Mertz has been struggling all season long, the quarterback at Wisconsin, and he didn't exactly pick apart Iowa's defense, but he didn't exactly have any trouble with it either. So I think that there are some major concerns about this Iowa team. Just a few weeks ago, they were ranked number two, and the last 2 weeks they've played against Purdue and Wisconsin, they've scored 2 touchdowns. So that's a big problem. Their schedule isn't that tough the rest of the way. They have Nebraska, they've got Northwestern, Minnesota on the docket, Illinois. So they still have some good wins in front of them and can still get to 8-9 wins this season. But I think we're finding out this is not a top 10 football team.
No, definitely not. Let's get to the Big Ten East, and this is really interesting. In some ways, it seemed like this was the semifinal round. And let's start with Michigan at Michigan State. I didn't have a dog in this fight either way, but it was a fun game to watch. Both teams showed well. You know, I guess my question is, we didn't know going into this game how good either team was. Do we now know?
I think we do know. I think what I learned from that game was, regardless of outcome, was that both teams, Michigan and Michigan State, were deserving of their top 10 ranking. I think that we learned that. They were playing well. Both teams, even though it was a 37-33, you could kind of classify it as a bit of a shootout. I thought that both teams played really well on both sides of the ball. The interesting thing to me about this game, Jim, was we've talked about Michigan's running attack the entire season, right? Like Blake Corum, Hassan Haskins, Donovan Edwards, those guys have been outstanding from week one to week 7 or 8. And then all of a sudden it became the Cade McNamara show. He throws for over 400 yards, just one interception in the game. If you would have told me that would have been the case, I would have thought Michigan won the game by 35 points. But the fact of the matter is, this Michigan State team, from what we've seen in games against Indiana, they had to do it with defense. In a game against Nebraska, they had to do it with special teams. And then again, in several games this season, they've had to do it with explosive plays. They did it again on Saturday against Michigan. This is a team that will do anything to win. They can win a game in multiple ways. I think that that's why they're the most dangerous team in the Big Ten, probably the biggest challenger to Ohio State right now. I do think Michigan State is a potential college football playoff contender the way they're playing right now and their ability to win games in multiple ways.
Well, you mentioned Ohio State, and before we get to Penn State, Ohio State game, first of all, the Michigan State-Ohio State game, where's it being played, and does Michigan State have a realistic chance to beat them?
I believe it's in, I have to check, but I'm pretty sure it's being played in Columbus. I think it's going to be in the Horseshoe. I think most of Ohio State's big games are in the Horseshoe, and then I think they'll travel to Ann Arbor to play Michigan. I do think they have a chance. I think when you look at what Penn State did, look, that was, we talked about how good this Ohio State team was clicking on the offensive side, how well their defense had been playing. I think Penn State exposed them a little bit. The things that Mike Yurcich was doing pre-snap, and let's face it, look at what Michigan State has. They have Jaden Reed, Jalen Naylor, Peyton Thorne is throwing the ball pretty well, although he struggled against Michigan. Kenneth Walker out of the backfield, nobody's really been able to shut him down outside of Nebraska a few weeks ago. I do think this team has the ability. I think you saw that Ohio State, even though they were beating teams 66-17 and 52-14, those were against Maryland, Rutgers, Akron, Tulsa, a bad Indiana team. I just think that Michigan State-Ohio State is now going to be the game that decides the Big Ten East and potentially and likely the Big Ten championship.
It's fun just to think about having another team that could challenge Ohio State. And just what that also does to the Big Ten East, as let's flip to Penn State, Ohio State. We know Ohio State is really good. We think from what we saw Michigan State that they're both pretty good. Now after seeing Penn State play Ohio State, with it doesn't seem like we had a healthy Sean Clifford. From your perspective, seeing that performance, how good is Penn State?
I still think they're a really good team. I think that you look at that loss to Illinois and it's a mirage. I think you saw the difference. I mean, look at the difference in that first and second half against Iowa with Sean Clifford healthy in the lineup and out of the game. Look at the difference between Illinois, maybe a 50 or 60% healthy Sean Clifford and what was probably a 90 to 100% strength Sean Clifford. The funny thing to me about Sean Clifford and the way he's played is we talked multiple times about this team depending on him. He had to clean up the turnovers. He had to play really well. When he plays really well, this Penn State team, I think, can compete with just about anybody in the country outside of maybe a team like Georgia. I really like what this team continues to do defensively. I like the red zone defense. For 35 minutes in that game, they held Ohio State to less than 20 yards rushing. Now, obviously, Travion Henderson hit his. He was able to get some explosive plays late in the game because Ohio State's offensive line wore down that defensive line. But I do think that Penn State is capable of still beating anybody they play in the Big Ten if Sean Clifford's at full strength. I still have concerns about their running game. It's hard to win games in the Big Ten if you can't at least get to that 100-yard mark on a consistent basis. And we've talked again, Mike Yurcich with those screen passes and getting the running backs involved in the passing game a little bit. Those are more of like an extension of the run game. But I do think if Sean Clifford's at full strength, if they don't turn the ball over, this team is capable of beating those teams we just talked about. They're capable of beating Michigan, Michigan State, getting to potentially 9 wins, and then maybe you get to a bowl game and maybe you put the feather in your cap and get that 10th victory.
And I tell you what, you mentioned the turnovers, the scoop and score, and the other interception. Probably those two plays were the difference in this game. Turnovers so critical. All right, time to look ahead. Next week, not the same kind of nice matchups, but let's get to them. Ohio State is at Nebraska, 15.5-point favorite as we record this. Is it even going to be a game next week, you think? Or is it possible Ohio State will have the Ohio State-Penn State hangover next week?
Yeah, they could have the hangover. This is why I hate this spread, Jim, is because on paper, when you look at Nebraska, 3-6, they haven't beaten Ohio State in forever. I look at this and I'm like, my brain tells me Ohio State's going to run away with this. It's going to be a 4-touchdown game. At the same time, I look at the way Nebraska's lost every single game, the way they lost to Michigan, Michigan State, Oklahoma, even Illinois, and some of these other games. All six of those losses have come in one possession games. Do I ride with the one possession? Do I think Nebraska's going to lose another one possession game? Or do I think Ohio State does its thing, tries to prove a point? I'm going to go with the Buckeyes covering that 15-point spread. I think as good as the Husker defense has been this season, I think the Ohio State offense is just too much. This is a reeling Huskers team. They know that they're probably not going to get to a bowl game this year. I think Ohio State runs over the Huskers.
Okay, the other game I picked for you to take is Michigan State at Purdue. The interesting thing is as we're recording this, when it first came out, the spread, it was only 2.5 points and quickly went to 3. By the time this is airing, I wouldn't be surprised if it got even a larger spread. I was surprised that it was this close, Michigan State at Purdue. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's a credit to the way Purdue's been playing. I think that they're very week to week. I think that you see this team play really well one week, and then the next week they're having trouble with turnovers. Their defense can't quite get as many stops. The defense has played really well. I think Jeff Brohm has implemented that 3 defensive coordinator system that I was scratching my head at the beginning of the season. That group has done a really good job of you know, keeping this team in games offensively. I never thought we'd be talking about Purdue needing enough points to win a game because of the way Jeff Brohm and his style, but that's certainly the case. My biggest question, the thing that's on my mind about this, is when we talked a couple weeks ago about Iowa, they were coming off that huge win over Penn State. They had that hangover effect. Purdue goes into Kinnick Stadium and wins 24-7. Could there be a similar situation this week in West Lafayette? Purdue gets Michigan State at home. Purdue, what I'm looking for most, Jim, is the college football playoff rankings. You know, Michigan State, number 2. Could they be number 2? Could Purdue get another number 2 victory, get to number 10, and increase the number that they have over number 2 teams? That would be quite something for Jeff Brohm. So I'm going to go with the upset in this one. I think Purdue spoils the Spartans. I think it's too hard to go 12-0 in a college football season. I think the Spartans get upset after a big win in the Paul Bunyan Trophy game.
And those of you who are saying, gee, the rankings already came out, we recorded this prior to the rankings coming out. That's all right. Quickly, we've got Penn State, Maryland. Maryland's getting 11 points, and the game's at Maryland.
I have said this, we've talked about this quite a bit too, Jim. I think that one team I don't want to be is Maryland, considering how last year's game went. I think Penn State is still thinking about that. This is a very motivated team. I thought that the way that they played against Ohio State showed that they haven't shut it down even after the loss to Illinois. I think that they want to prove a point against Maryland. I think that Penn State rolls to this. I think this is going to be a 3-touchdown game for the Nittany Lions.
All right, we'll have you down for Penn State on that one. And we are out of time. As always, Dustin, thanks for coming in. It always goes so fast. That's it for our show. Thank you all for tuning in, and make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley, and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Sunday. Don't hassle with parking, as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to gopsurv.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.